Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us that guidance, Father, that we need, and to bring us the truth of this, your word, to help us to grow stronger and deeper into thy word, Father, and to be able to serve as we are called to serve, Father. Now, Father, there are those of us this morning, myself and Dennis, Kenny and Terry, Father, we all stand in need of the healing hand of Jesus to touch us, to give us strength, Father, to help us along the way so that we can reach others with the gospel of your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now be with us throughout this morning service, Father. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I'm going to be talking to you this morning from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll give you just a moment to get there if you want to go. To be with me. This third chapter here has a whole lot in it that was going on in Paul's day and time. And we are seeing a lot of that happen today around you and I. Because mankind, just as it was in that day and time, has walked further and further away from the Lord Jesus and from the gospel. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollo, are you not carnal? If you take those four verses there, and look what man has done to God's word today, and what he's done in the church world, in causing division. You know, the Bible speaks, and as we've talked about many times, about man building walls. The only thing is we don't call them walls. We call them denominations. But it causes divisions, just like what he's talking about there in verse 3. Because you see, they wasn't calling them denominations in their day, but they were splitting and proclaiming. Some of them was of Paul, some of Apollos, and they had a few other names that they were claiming they were by. And Paul says, are you not carnal? Because you see, they're not really proclaiming to be of Christ. And they was not getting along, just as we are today. We need to come together. And if we stand any chance at all, and bringing our nation back even to what it once was, we're going to have to come together in unity. And I'm talking about the church. You see, we are seeing, as the scripture told us, when the evil is in ruling, woe be unto the inhabitants. We're seeing that. We're seeing exactly how that can be. You know, we read a lot about that in the Bible, about bad rulers and all, and what would go on. They was kings that even tried and ordering all of the young from 2 years down to be killed, just actually to destroy one. But instead they were destroying hundreds, even thousands, and trying to destroy baby Jesus. The Lord was rejected by most when he first got here, even to the point of trying to put him to death, and they finally did make it and ended up nailing him to a cross. The most painful, agonizing death known to mankind in that day and time. Think about that. And he took all that upon himself for you and I, to give you and I more of life. And yet we are not placing him in our lives as we should. Because you see, when we really and truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to accept anything this world out here has got to offer us. All we need, God will see that we will get exactly everything that we do need. That's a little food for the stomach and to keep this flesh going, clothes to cover it, and a place to stay. Think about it. But no, that's not what we want, is it? We want the best of everything. You know, mankind will do everything he can to take anything you have and he's doing a real good job of it. Look at the things we have today. With the modern technology, you can go out here today, and I know of a few places, because in fact I have one, you can buy a wristwatch for $14. You can also buy one that will cost you thousands of dollars. And what is it that we want? We don't want that $14 one, do we? Well, I've got to have that one, that big one. I've got to have that $1,000 one. No, you don't have to have it. That $14 one will do the very same work. I know. In fact, I got one on right now. It keeps good time. In fact, it keeps better time than a lot of your more expensive watches do. And I've had it now for several years. It wasn't something I just had to keep buying. I've had it now about 3 or 4 years. Think about that. And it does a real good job. That's not what we want. And we've got to lay claim to being of certain churches, certain denominations. And we don't want anything to do with others. And Paul says, he says here in verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Yet today, we're not saying that we're of any man, but I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Church of God. Are you not carnal? I ask you that question. Are you not carnal? There is only one church, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Church. And you and I are to stand on the foundation that we have been given. What foundation is that, Pastor? That is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, when you look at 1 John, or the Gospel of John, rather, you find it written right in chapter 1. You'll find him, Paul telling us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on to tell us that that same, the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So you see, we have, he's talking there about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that the Word also tells us that the Word was made flesh. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has paid the price for all of us. Each and every one of us. And if we don't start walking in His Word, staying in His Word, bringing His Word into our life and bringing it out forward and making it a living Word to where we can use it to help others that are walking in darkness, lost in, out here in the ways of the world, instead of being alive in the Lord Jesus Christ and on their way of making heaven their home. And to do that, we need the Lord's church at work. We need to be in His Word as it is written and not being deceived by anyone. You see, Satan is a master at deceiving. But he's not here on this earth in a person or in person himself. He works through mankind, just like Jesus does. A lot of times, that thing that's in your head that's telling you to do wrong things is His voice. You'll think, well, you know, I don't know why I thought that. Well, if you really stop and take account of it, you'll find out that it really wasn't your thought. It was put there by Satan. But you know, he really has no power. He cannot make you do anything. You'll hear people say, well, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but Satan made me do it. No. He just led you that way. and you follow it. You've done it yourself. Because you have a choice. Every decision that comes to you, you have a choice in what you do with it and how you handle it. And that choice should always be that you go to the Lord Jesus Christ first of all. First thing, go to Him. Ask Him about it. And listen for Him. And He'll guide and tell you what and how to handle any situation. You can find most questions and all in the Bible. There's an answer to everything in it. It's finding it. And when you take it to the Lord, He'll guide you and show you where it's at. But you see, we still want to walk carnally because we want to proclaim being this and being that, being something else except being a child of the living God. We're looking at the ways of the world first. All right. Now we're going to take the next 5 or 6 verses here. Because Paul goes on now, starting here with verse 5, says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Paul says, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Pardon me a minute. Now, you see, that's what we do. We sow God's word out here. We plant. And there are others that are the children of God that will water. We do that by sowing, and those that will stand in agreement with us and help us to bring about the working of it. And we find just exactly what Paul is talking about here. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, we cannot give the increase. We plant and we sow God's word. The Holy Spirit that is working within you and I and within mankind, as He deals with those that will hear that word, will bring them about and lead them to an altar to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, it's through Him that God works and gives the increase. You and I can't do it. Now, but we are to sow. We are to plant. We are to water God's word. That is our part. We are to be there to be used by God for whatever is needed. But we are to wait on Him. And you know, that's something that most of mankind don't have today. They don't have the patience to wait upon the Lord. He goes on here now, Paul does. And he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are to work in the work that God will call each one of us into. And if we do that, then we will receive the reward that God has laid up for us. Because you see, you and I, just as Paul is telling us here in this ninth verse, for we are laborers together with God. You see, we're laborers with Him. He goes on and tells us, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We know that within this fleshly body we've got here, that when we walk in the Word of Almighty God as a born-again child of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father all live within this body. We have everything we need to do what God has asked of us to do. But most of the time, we just don't do it, do we? Because we've got our own way. We want to walk our own way. And we don't want to listen. He goes on now here in 10. He told us that we are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Are you a master builder? You should be. Because you see, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Well, we've been given the foundation, which is the Word, this Holy Bible. But we're also warned about how we build our own. We know that there's a lot of them out there building the wrong thing. And they're deceiving people into walking contrary to the Word of Almighty God. Instead of building rightly upon the Word. And he warns us there in that 10th verse. He says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. You and I are warned about how. Just how to build on this Word. We need to take things to heart. He tells us also now in verse 11 that we need to heed how we build on. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No way you and I can lay any other foundation than this foundation on Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, And we know a lot of that that's being done today. We see an awful lot of that on television, where they are building a ministry for the purpose of selling things to receive monetary gain. That's not the kind of foundation we should be laying. No. In fact, Jesus, back in the Gospels, warned us against that, didn't he? He made a whip and run them out of the tabernacle for doing that, for setting up and selling things, and told them what they were doing and how wrong it was. And we got a lot of them today doing the very same thing, all to gain money. And we're warned there in 12 about that. 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'm going to open this up a minute. All for you, Kenny. And see what you have to say about that. Kenny? He must be where he can't answer. All right. We're just about finished here. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, there are those that they're not walking so far away to be lost. They'll still be making heaven their home, but they'll lose every reward because they have not done the work here on earth that they were supposed to do. Now, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? And I've been telling you all through this service this morning, what's in you? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Watch what you do. Don't destroy this temple out here by the things of this world. Keep this temple clean. Keep it holy. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Warning us again on how to use our wisdom, the wisdom that we do have. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You know, you and I, we don't know anything really without God and His Spirit. That's why at the beginning of every service, I ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because without Him speaking to me and giving me the thoughts and the words, I couldn't preach to you. 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. We'll end with these next two verses. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. We know, because we are told about the setting and about the line we are in, you and I. Because you see, God is the great I am. And he is the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of man. And then we have been made head of the woman. But is that the way you really live? Or are you living by the ways, the thoughts, and all of this world out here? And that's what most today are doing. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place that we can come and share your word. A place to study and share. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to take care of them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, this nation of ours that has walked, turned its back and walked away from the church, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and went its own way. Father, we pray, we need your help to remove those from office that is against the church, against Jesus, against your people, and replace them with ones that will work for the church, work for Jesus, and help us to put things back upon the foundation in which, Father, this nation was founded on, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, bring about the infilling of whatever their need is, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, myself, Lord, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, the Church of God there at Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little full gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, I pray that they are walking to where they are walking filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, Father, to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness, to be of help in the community where each is standing. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Ivan. Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs because they walk on dangerous ground, Father, which you know. Keep them safe. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello, for Sue and for David, for James Taylor, for Palis Goodman, for Karen, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, these all stand in need of the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them in mighty and great ways, Father. Let them know that you are the great physician. You are the healer. Because we know that we are all healed by the stripes of Jesus. That is what your word tells us, Father. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this day, Father, until we come back together again. And we ask all of this morning in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless everyone. Now, one more thing. There won't be any service tonight. But we'll be back, God willing, we'll be back together again come Thursday night. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Stay in his word. Hide his word in your heart. Good day now. Bye-bye.